Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Thyrocare Technologies Limited earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Kapil Gupta from Thyrocare Technologies Limited. Thank you, and over to you. I'm sorry, sir. You are not audible. Can you... Hello? So I'm sorry. Can you start again, please?
Yeah, sure. Thank you, SSB. A very good evening to all, and thank you for joining us today for the Thyrocare earnings conference call for the first quarter of FY25. Today, we have with us Mr. Rahul Guha, MD and CEO of Thyrocare, Mr. Alok Jagnani, CFO of Thyrocare, and Mr. Nitin Chugh, Chief Commercial Officer of Thyrocare, along with other key members of the senior management on this call to share highlights of the business and financials for the quarter. I hope you have gone through our results and the quarterly earnings presentation, which has now been uploaded on the Stock Exchange website. The transcript of this call will be available in a week's time on the company's website. Please note that today's discussion may be forward-looking in nature and must be viewed in the relation to the risk pertaining to our business. After the end of this call, in case of any further questions, please feel free to reach out to the investor relations team. I now hand over the call to Mr. Rahul Guha to make the opening remarks.
Thanks, Kapil. Good evening and welcome to all on the call. Thank you for making time out from your busy schedules to join us this evening. Just a quick introduction to us on the call. My name is Rahul Guha and I am the MD and CEO of Thyrocare, and thank you for the opportunity to present the Q1 results of FY25. I am joined with my colleague Alok Kumar Jagnani, who is our CFO, Nitin Chugh, who is our Chief Commercial Officer, and who did the introduction. As in all my calls, I will start with a quote from Nelson Mandela in recognition of our foray into Africa. It is in your hands to make a better world for all who live in it. And we believe Thyrocare can bring our business model to Africa to make affordable and good quality diagnostics to all. I'll give you some of the key highlights of what we've been up to in the last quarter. Before we get into the details of this quarter, I'll reiterate the pay-for-performance pricing structure that we implemented last year. Last year, our discount structure was one-size-fits-all, but now we have moved to a slab-based pricing model, which we implemented in May 2023, and it's now been a year and has been well accepted by our franchisee network. This has led to an increased energy with our franchisee network, with motivation to move up volumes and enter higher slabs. It will result in a movement towards larger franchisees and enable much greater reach from our large partners. Quality remains a priority for us. It is an ongoing journey, and we are proud to announce that 25 out of our 30 NABL labs are now NABL accredited. Currently, 94% of our total sample load is processed in NABL labs, a significant achievement considering only 2% of pathology labs nationwide hold this accreditation. To validate our commitment to quality, we conducted an independent study published in the International Journal of Advanced Research, Ideas and Innovations in Technology. The findings reveal that 9 out of 10 doctors trust Thyrocare reports and confidently recommend our services to their patients. This endorsement underscores the dedication and effort we've invested in maintaining high quality standards. On the quality front, this quarter, we have reduced our complaints per million samples by 70% against last year. We hosted an advisory board meeting in June 2024 with a panel of esteemed doctors to gain insights on enhancing our quality milestones. Doctors witnessed our cutting-edge technologies and stringent protocols, reinforcing our commitment to diagnostic excellence. Beyond the work on quality, we continue to selectively expand our offerings. Arogyam has been our flagship brand, in the preventive healthcare segment. And now we have two more brands, Jaanch and HeartCheck. Jaanch, as I have said before, is targeted towards lifestyle challenges for you to better understand your health. We have solutions across the spectrum for anything you might be worried about. Is it fever or something more serious? Why is my hair falling? Cancer screening, as well as deep investigations for common chronic diseases like diabetes, heart health, amongst others. We are doing well on Jaanch, which has grown 25% year on year. We are very proud of some of the key milestones that we have achieved in this quarter. We have 8,100 active franchisees. As a result, we processed 6 million samples and served 4 million patients in this quarter, which is 13% and 9% year-on-year growth, respectively, in volume. Total tests conducted during this quarter was around 41 million, which grew by 13% year-on-year. I'm happy to share that we have entered into a business transfer agreement on 2nd July to acquire Polo Labs Private Limited. Polo Labs is a pathology diagnostic company based out of Punjab, with a wide presence in Punjab, Haryana, and Himachal Pradesh. This will allow us to expand our footprint in North India, where we have been weak. This transaction is expected to close by the end of this month. Partnerships business did phenomenally well in the quarter and grew as we onboarded new clients in health tech segments and continued to grow our existing accounts. Also, with the acquisition of Think Health last year, it has strengthened our offering for the insurance segment with the additional capability of ECG at home. This allows us to give our insurance partners a one-stop solution for blood and ECG testing and further deepen our presence in the pre-policy medical checkup and annual health checkup market. And now we are the company which offers health checks with ECG at home, and I'm sure that will enhance our Arogyam brand. On the B2G side, we continue to execute TB projects in the state of Gujarat and Maharashtra. On the international expansion side, our lab is now set up in Tanzania, and we are going out in the market in full swing. With that, I will hand over to my colleague Nitin to cover the highlights for the quarterly performance.
Thank you, Rahul. A warm welcome to each one of you. I will briefly update you about the business performance highlights for the first quarter of FY25. Overall, at a consolidated level, we did a 16% year-on-year revenue growth this quarter, which was primarily driven by our pathology business. Our franchise business showed a revenue growth of 11% year-on-year. We have started focusing towards opening up smaller labs and partnerships and focusing more on franchise storefronts, which will lead to a higher processing capabilities and ultimately leading to higher franchise business growth in coming quarters. Our partnership business, like Rahul said, grew by 29% year-on-year, and if we exclude API and B2G, it showed a phenomenal growth of 41%. Radiology business, including Pulse High Tech, did a strong revenue growth of 15% year-on-year. Balance, with that, I will hand over to my colleague Alok to cover the financial results.
Thank you, Nitin. A warm welcome to everyone joining us today. Before diving into the specifics, I would like to touch upon the ESOP program, which we have discussed in previous quarters. This initiative, implemented at group level, aimed to retain the talents within ThyroCare. These ESOPs, issued by the parent company, will vest as per the policy. From an accounting perspective, they are reflected as an expense in the profit and loss account and as an equity contribution from the parent in the balance sheet. It's crucial to note that this represents a cashless charge and does not affect company's cash outflow. Accordingly, we calculate normalized EBITDA, which account for these expenses. Further details are available in presentation. Now, moving to the financial performance. Revenue for the quarter stood at 144 crore standalone and 157 CR consolidated, making a year-on-year improvement of 16% at consolidated level. This growth was supported by strong partnership revenue grow by 29% franchisee growth of 12%. Total pathology revenue increased by 16% year-on-year, and radiology revenue increased by 15%. Our standalone gross margin for the quarter stood at 70%, which reduced by 1 percentage point, primarily driven by increase of material cost and foreign exchange fluctuation. Employee expenses increased year-on-year due to annual increment, addition to the growth team, and new business acquisitions. Standalone normalized EBITDA margin for the quarter stood at 31%, which is lower by 1 percentage point, primarily due to the decrease in gross margin and increase in marketing and overhead costs. EBITDA margin in radiology stood at 8% versus 12% year-on-year, mainly due to the increase in operational costs and change in revenue mix between scan and FDG sales. At a consolidated level, gross margin was 71% and normalized EBITDA was 29%. Reported EBITDA for the company grew by 21% year-on-year. PAT show a strong growth of 35% year-on-year. Now, with this, I will pass the call to Rahul for strategic update.
Thank you, Alok. Briefly, I would like to take a few minutes to recap to you our strategic direction, and then we'll open it up for Q&A. First, I will reiterate our value proposition to the customer. We will continue to remain an affordable option to all patients with good quality and on-time reports. All our efforts on our value proposition is towards ensuring low cost to the patient, assurance on quality of testing through our certification and engagement with doctors. We have made substantial progress on this, which I updated in my initial comments and is reflected in the presentation. This will remain at our core and will continue to guide all that we do. Second, our strategy. We continue to maintain our strategy of being the B2B partner of choice to all front-end diagnostic services companies in India, whether it's a small diagnostic center in a semi-urban area, a pharmacy in a metro, a small nursing home, an individual doctor, or a leading online diagnostic platform. We are happy to work with them to provide low-cost, robust testing solutions so that they can serve their patients in the most effective manner. If they require phlebotomy, we are happy to mobilize our phlebotomy network of almost 1,300 phlebotomists to serve them better. We remain dedicated to expanding our business, and with the acquisition of Polo Labs, we plan to significantly increase our presence in North India. Additionally, to further boost our partnerships business, the acquisition of Think Health allows us to offer ECG at home services, further enhancing our value to our insurance partners. This strategy has been working well for us, with both our franchise and partnerships business posting strong growth. In order to provide affordable and superior quality services to our customer, we are committed to three pillars of growth. The first is our customer success. The focus is to ensure that our customers receive accurate, timely, and affordable diagnostic services. We emphasize on quality control, robust data management, and customer support to meet and exceed client expectations. Through streamlined processes and advanced technology, we aim to enhance the overall customer experience and satisfaction. We invest in technology to help our franchise partners market themselves better and win in the market. The second is network expansion. We aim to take our franchise business deeper into India with a focused test menu and provide our clients with a frictionless experience to transact with us. At the same time, expanding our growing private and public partnerships. In the public space, we focus on TB and infectious disease, where we are by far one of the strongest players in these segments, with large screening programs partnering with health bodies and funding agencies. Additionally, we will continue to expand our partnerships across healthcare companies, hospitals, and other health services companies. The third area where we are now focusing is to enhance our menu expansion. We are introducing a diverse range of new tests and health packages to our partners, which includes adding more specialized and high-demand tests to cater to a broader customer base. We aim to actively promote these high-value offerings to ensure they are well integrated into our partner services. For example, we have now launched histopathology in-house in our Delhi lab and offer histopathology services now to our customers, provided in-house by ThyroCare. Additionally, by leveraging targeted marketing strategies, we will push for increased adoption of premium health packages, maximizing value for both our partners and end customers. That, in a brief, is our mandate as management. Thank you so much for giving us a patient hearing. I'll once again end with a quote from the Mahatma. Find purpose, the means will follow. And our purpose remains to provide affordable, high-quality testing to the masses. With that, we'll open up for Q&A.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have a first question from the line of Shubh from Ratna Traya Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Mr. Shubh, your line has been unmuted. Please go ahead with your question.
Hello. Am I audible? Hello. Hello.
Mr. Shubh?
Hello.
Yes, please go ahead.
Yeah. So I have two questions for now. First is more on the accounting side. What is a quarterly cadence of depreciation? It was around 13 crores the last two quarters. This quarter depreciation has reduced.
Okay, and your second question?
The second question is on the partnerships front. Again, what would be if like 42 crores a normal cadence of partnership revenues on quarterly basis?
Sorry, I didn't understand the second question. You said 42 crores of partnerships.
Can you please repeat that question?
Yes, sir. So, So this quarter we have considerably higher growth in partnerships revenue. How do you see it going forward?
Okay, understood.
Yeah.
So maybe I'll answer the second question, and then I'll hand over to Alok to answer the depreciation question. On the partnerships, and I'll let Nitin add, at the high level, a lot of the partnerships got added in the second half of last year. So if you look at our jump, we actually saw a big jump between Q3 and Q4, and that jump continues to sustain. The second part is API is now back on a growth path, so that is also giving a boost to our partnership business. And we expect this trajectory to continue. Nitin, you want to add anything?
So we have some strong pipeline on the partnership front, and we see that this business will continue to grow strong to a delta to even our franchise business. Right, so this will grow upwards of high teen growth in the coming quarters as well on the back of good revenues, upgrowing revenues from API, and also corporate and insurance business also we see a lot of potential.
Understood. Just to follow up on this, if you can share the contribution of API this quarter.
API has done roughly 8% growth. I think
and
it has
13
crores of revenue is what it would have done.
Understood. All right. Thank you.
On the depreciation piece, to ask questions. So answering to that, if you see compared to previous quarter, we have dip in 1.6 crore rupees in depreciation cost, because in quarter four we have taken one-time depreciation cost of delayed depreciation has happened for Pulse entity,
Rest is normalized. So if we exclude that 1 crore rupees, it's going to be normalized depreciation.
And it was around 13 quarters in quarter 3 of FY24 as well. So it's the same reason?
No. So in quarter 3, we had done lots of capitalizations, if you remember. There are lots of infrastructure developments and all has happened, and all the capitalizations happen in September, October. And because of that, the 3 months capitalization, it has come in for September, July, August, in the month of quarter 3. So,
okay.
46 crores of capitalizations we have done during that period of time.
So going forward, 11 to 12 crores per quarter is?
It's going to be between 11 to 12 crores, subject to further business expansions, what's going to come in pipeline.
Understood. All right. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We have our next question from the line of Prakash Kapadia from Spark PMS. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. If I look at pathology revenues, they are up around 16%. So last year, you know, we had a low base. So has that helped? And, you know, if I were to look at pathology revenues, they are flat sequentially. So how do we read this? Is there a seasonality in pathology revenues?
Yeah, maybe I'll take both questions.
Yeah.
I'll take the second one first and then the... See, the business is seasonal. Actually, if you go in the past sequential, between Q4 tends to be the best quarter in our business. And actually, normally we see a mild dip in Q1. So a sequential growth is actually, quite welcome from that point of view. Because as you might be knowing, in Feb and March, a lot of people do the annual health checkup because of the tax benefits that you get against that. So we do see Q4 tends to be quite strong,
right.
And Q2 also tends to be very strong because we get into the fever season and, you know, the monsoon and all of that. Q1 is normally quite a dull quarter. Actually, we normally see a mild dip in Q1, which we haven't seen. Now, coming to the second question, year-on-year, actually, if you look at our non-COVID business, right, that has been growing at a CAGR of, I think, roughly 18-19%. So I wouldn't say last year was a low base from a non-COVID side. You know, every year our non-COVID business has been growing between the high teens and in that 20% range. So I would not contend that it's a low base. So growing on top of that at 16% is actually quite good in my opinion.
Okay, understood. And, you know, if I look at the franchisee revenues, you know, I think they are up around 11%. Last quarter, you did mention, you know, the contribution of larger franchisees has been increasing. So, you know, could you give us some sense on the growth and contribution from larger franchisees? What are the factors, you know, which could drive pathology revenues from year on? Obviously, you mentioned about, you know, the partnership revenues, which have, you know, grown quite healthy. So would franchisee and partnership be in this range? What are, you know, we looking at for further growth for pathology?
Yeah. So let me answer the first question and then I'll come to the second question. So if you look, we bifurcate our 8,100 roughly franchisees into, you know, large and small. Roughly about 3,500 are large today and about 4,500 are small. If I go back last year, the equivalent would be roughly 2,900 and 4,600. So we've added actually roughly about 600 large franchisees year on year, right? Whereas our small franchisees have stayed more or less stable. So the mix right. of large to small, has moved quite substantially over the year. And that is right. what is actually driving our growth.
Right.
And just to add.
And on the second question in terms of, look, we try to avoid giving guidance. I will say, though, that our franchisee business will be range-bound in the low double-digit to mid-teen, and I expect our partnership business to grow faster than that.
Okay.
We may not be able to maintain the 29% that you're seeing, but I definitely feel our partnership business will grow faster than our franchisee business. And our franchisee business is picking up, so I expect it will remain in that, I would say, low double digit to mid-teen, with partnerships growing faster.
And this partnership... Sorry, you were saying something.
No, I was asking Nitin if you'd like to add. But you can go to your next question.
Yeah, the partnership business, you know, you mentioned will grow slightly faster. So is it, you know, some of the new products or customized products which, you know, certain partners are looking at, or certain geographies where, you know, there is some new launches? So what is going to drive that?
Understood. There I'll have to take you a little bit into the history. Okay, if you go back in the past, partnerships was never a large business for us as ChiroCare. And over the last couple of years, you know, a lot of health tech players have come in where we had not tapped into that potential. The other is actually multiple insurance players control a large amount of volume because they all do pre-policy medical checkup, and they also give an annual health checkup to their policyholders. So there's significant volume that sits with the insurance companies where we have not been present, right? And so therefore, just focus on these two segments, health tech players or health player, you know, players who are in the health services space, which includes hospitals, clinics, many of these larger chains, plus focus on the insurance segment is what has been yielding us dividends. We have been actually, we were almost practically hardly anything in these, you know, segments. And with putting in place the partnership team and dedicated key account managers and all of that is actually what you're seeing yielding the dividends now.
Okay, so this is part of our focus.
Mr. Kapadia, may I request you to join back the queue, please, as we have other participants waiting.
Sure.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Binu Patiparampil from Elara Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening. Just a further clarification on this EBITDA margin that has come off by 100 basis points YOY. I believe you attributed a bit to the increase in material cost. Is that the only reason? What's the outlook going forward? Is it going to be a bit less than what you earlier expected?
Alok, I'll let you take that.
So this is... For the EBITDA margin, there is a dip of 1%. What I
gross margin.
So I have given EBITDA margin 1% dip has come. If you compare year on year, mainly come from material cost. That is one of the reasons. And some cost has increased on account of other expenses also, like volume. Because of the volume increase, other cost has gone up by 13%. In terms of Flevo and LME cost has gone up. Some marketing spends, what we have started spending from last Q2 onward, has in the same line or some increase has seen there. And employee cost has also gone up on account of increments and business expansion. So these are the major three reasons. If we consolidate all, then 1% margin dip has come in EBITDA. And for subsequent quarters, we are expecting it's going to be between 25 to 20, 30, that task which we are looking for.
Sorry, did I hear between 29 and 30?
Between 25 to 30, it's going to be between 27 to 30.
Yeah.
27 to 30.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Lakshmi Narayanan from Tunga Investments. Please go ahead.
Yes, I have three questions. First is the stock options which are being allocated. This is all ThyroCare shares, right? That's my first question. Second question is that if you look at the employee count, if you look at on a long-term basis, let's say 2019, we had around close to 1,200. I think now the employee base is around 1,700 or so, or even more. Just want to understand how do you look at this equation between employee cost to the overall revenues? Is it that the employee cost as a percentage will change over a period of time? That's the second question. And the third question is related to the total capital outlay for non-Indian operations. So how much is the total plan and how much we have done so far? Three questions.
Okay. On the first one, these are ESOPs granted from the parent. So these are actually API ESOPs that are granted to ThyroCare employees. And recorded in the P&L. So there is actually no cash impact and no share dilution at a ThyroCare level. It's mostly at the parent level. So
yes, correct. So how it looks at the parent's balance sheet? I'm just trying, curious to understand how it.
The same is reflected in our P&L as a charge, and whereas in the balance sheet, it's contribution from parents shown as in our balance sheet.
And in the parent balance sheet, it is basically share-based payment to the subsidiary.
Got it. And why not the ThyroCare shares itself?
The pool that when we wanted to create a sufficiently large pool, the pool available at ThyroCare was not large enough to appropriately incentivize the leadership team here.
Got it. Okay.
And if you go for additional pool, then it's go for dilutions of shares, which you don't want at this point of time as an impact.
Got it.
So that was your first question. Second is employee count. See, the employee count largely is because if you go back to 2019, I think we had 10 labs. Today we have 30 labs, and that is largely the increase in employee cost, running 10 labs versus 30 labs. And the second is we have put a lot of investment in feet on street and outbound calling. So that is the other. But, you know, if I break up that journey from 1,200 to 1,900, I would say almost 80% of that will be largely because of the number of labs that we have opened. And the remaining will be in business development and all of that.
Got it. And when do you think the utilization of those will go up so that we have an operating leverage? Is it like, are we 10%, 20% utilized of the incremental headcount? What is the normalized employee cost or something which we can actually expect?
Look, our labs, actually we are now reasonably efficient from a lab point of view. I think our overall utilization will be in the 60s. Which is a good, comfortable position to be because we have this business is seasonal plus seasonal in the week as well. So, you know, the peak versus trough is quite substantial, both at a weekly level as well as monthly and quarterly level. So I think 60 to 70% utilization is a good place to be. If you see over the last couple of years, last year to this year, we haven't added much headcount, at least in lab operations. So, you should start to see the operating leverage come in, especially now that we are growing at 16% plus. You know, then you get a, if you go back to previous years, you know, at an overall revenue level, it was while we were growing on non-COVID basis, at the overall revenue level, we were not growing.
Got it. So we can take around 200 employees per year. It would be an increase to support a 15% growth in the top line.
I think as a percentage, you should, you know, roughly expect the employee cost to track 0.75 of the revenue. If your revenue is growing 16%, you can anticipate employee cost to grow 12%.
Got it. Okay. Fair enough. Yeah, and the third is regarding the African.
So Africa, I think we spent 8 crores, no?
We spent 8 crores and as of now we have no plan. Further plan is going to come depending on how the outcomes are going to come.
Yeah. So at this point, our capital outlay in Tanzania is actually not even 8 because half is 4 from us and 4 from the partner. So yeah, it's actually a total of 4 crores.
So we then 4 crores for further expansion.
So just one last question from a rent point of view. What is the annual rent expenses you have for all the 30 labs approximately?
I don't think I have that number on hand. Maybe Alok will look at it and come back. Maybe go to the next question. I'll interrupt the call at some point and give you
that
number.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star and one on your phone now.
Good.
We have a question.
Rent is around 60 to 70 lakh rupees we are spending monthly. This is for all 30 labs.
Should we take the next question, sir?
Yes, please.
Okay. We have a question from Neeraj Vijay Kamtekar from Prospero Tree. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. Sir, my question is regarding the subsidiary company, that is the radiology business. Sir, we have a meaningful investment in the radiology business, but their contribution is very, very less or hardly there is any contribution at the bottom line level. When this business will really contribute to the balance, to the bottom line? Because only the pathology business is performing, radiology business is not performing. We have increased the number of centers from 9 to 10, but there is a very hardly there is a revenue improvement and the profit is very negligible. So my question is, first question is regarding the radiology business improvement.
Again, I'll take you to the history before I answer that question. NHL used to be a loss-making entity. At least now it is no longer loss-making and not negative in the P&L. That has taken us about, you know, a journey of almost 2 years to turn around this business. Now that it is profitable, yes, I agree with you, it is not generating a lot of profit. A primary reason of that is because the maintenance cost of the equipment has gone up substantially because the equipment is very, very old. So we would have to invest substantially in this business if we are to expect this to come into a, you know, meaningful contribution overall. As it is currently, I don't expect the business to do much. I mean, we can take the business up a little bit. The 1 crore EBITDA may become 2 crores, but in the 45, 50 crores that we are targeting, it will not be meaningful. But if we are going to make this a meaningful business, we are going to have to invest substantially. And for that, we are making the plan. Now that at least the business is not loss-making, we are now more confident to evaluate investments there. But the investments will be substantial. So therefore, you know, we have not taken that decision at this point.
Mr. Neeraj?
Yeah.
To answer,
am I audible?
Yes, you are.
Much of the, I would not bank very much on the radiology business becoming a substantial contributor of the profits.
So, because my question is when the originally the pharmacy has taken over the business of the ThyroCare, there was a substantial investment earlier also. Now we are putting more money into the radiology business, which is not generating the desirable IRR from that business. Why we are insisting on the radiology business and why we are not concentrating only on the pathology business?
No. So let me clarify. We are not taking any decision to invest in the radiology business. We are currently happy with where it is just now. It is not loss-making. It adds and it is not cash flow negative. So with that, we are happy with where the business is now. All our focus is on the pathology business, which hopefully you are also seeing in the figures. We will continue to maintain the radiology business, but rest assured, not a lot of management bandwidth is going behind the radiology.
So now onwards, there will be no major capex for the radiology business. Is it correct?
It is not anticipated. If we have it, we will, of course, first consult with the board and make a thorough plan. But as of now, there are no plans to substantially invest capex in the radiology.
Okay. And, sir, my second question is regarding the cash flow. Though the company is distributing the very good amount of the dividend, but when we declared and we paid the dividend, we have to encash the some investment which we made into the mutual fund or somewhere else. So is there can we curtail the dividend and maintain the investment for the future possibility of investment, other investment in the business investment, or will we maintain such high dividend every year? So because in the first half, mostly we divest the some investment and pay the dividend out of that money. So can we have a minimum amount of dividend and keep the investment for the business purpose? Is it possible?
That is always possible. But right now, we are generating a healthy amount of cash flow. Even in the first quarter, our cash generation will be, I think, close to 40 crores. So we generate 150, 175 in that range of cash every year. We don't require that much cash. We are almost a negative working capital business to some extent. So our cash requirements, even to grow the business, are not substantial. So then we feel it's better to reward our shareholders with a good dividend rather than keeping the cash in our treasury.
But then can we?
Sir, I request you to join back the queue, please.
But my question is not over, madam. I will join in the queue, but my question is not over.
Please take this question. No problem. Please continue. Please ask question, sir. Sorry.
So I believe his line got disconnected. I'll take the next question. This is from the line of Aditya from Securities Investment Management. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. So firstly, how do you define a large and a small franchisee? So is there any revenue target set for a franchisee to become large or a small?
Yeah, so, at ThyroCare billing level, a large franchisee is, I think, 50,000 rupees plus. And a small franchisee is someone who does less than 50,000 at ThyroCare billing, no? Which, just to give you context, while the thyroid MRP is, in the range of 300 to 350, our billing to the franchisee is roughly about 60 rupees, 60 to 70 rupees, you can take it. So when I say it is at ThyroCare billing, it is a multiple at the franchisee level. But that's the definition, more than 50,000, less than 50,000.
Understood, sir. Sir, this franchisee business, who would be our major competitors? Would it be the larger listed players only, or there are smaller players as well?
There are competition. I'll let Nitin take this question.
Yeah. So see, competition is also very, very area specific. The competition comes from both sides, large established players like Metropolis and Lal, and in certain areas there are a lot of local players as well, which are very, very region specific.
So, but if I have to understand the kind of volumes which the larger players would be doing, the cost, then the cost advantage which we would have, those cost advantage the smaller player shouldn't have. So ideally, the larger players should keep gaining share in this market, right?
Yeah, I think both in terms of share and profitability. If you study the larger players versus the smaller players, you will see both from a growth rate point of view as well as from a profitability point of view. The larger players which are listed stand out. And if you study any of the unlisted, you will not see a similar growth or profitability in many of those businesses.
Understood, sir. And sir, now this partnership business excluding API and government, we have been seeing very good growth. So is this growth coming from new partners or there has been increasing contribution from existing partnerships?
I'll let Nitin answer.
So it's a mixture of both. Like Rahul said, see, a couple of years back, the partnership business was negligible. And like if you see last year also, we added major partnerships during the quarter one and quarter two of last year, which are giving us the desired results this year as well. So it's on both sides. While we continue our efforts on adding new partners, but on the other side, for fair players like corporates and other insurance partners, we try to get in the more wallet share from their either the PPMC business, the pre-policy medical health checkup or annual health checkup business as well.
And just to underscore one point, with ThyroCare, actually we are the best person for partnerships, whether you're a insurance player, a health tech player, or, you know, let's say a health clinic or a hospital chain, because we are actually, we have a complete company-owned phlebotomy fleet, and we have a full tech backend that has been built. So today, with one single API business, API integration, ThyroCare can enable you in 300 cities in the country. And that actually, as a proposition, is leading us to win in the franchisee network, in the partnerships business, because if you are a very large insurer, actually, with one single API integration, you can start your entire pre-policy medical checkup and annual health checkup across 300 cities with just one partner, ThyroCare.
Yes, sir. Sir, is this business granular, or the share of top 5-10 partnerships would be contributing 70% to 80% of revenue?
Actually, there is a long tail in this business, but you're right. The top 5 will account for 50-60% of
the Understood. And sir, if I look at the realization per test in partnership business, so it has been constantly declining. So it was around 345 in December 22 quarter, and now it is around 305. So what is the reason for the same?
Actually, that is realization per sample across the partnerships business. What happens is we have been focusing a lot on upsell, or let's say add-on tests at the patient's residence. So what happens is, as tests get add-on at the time of collection, an additional sample is used, but the realization of that sample is lower. So that mix is what you're seeing playing out in the revenue per sample. Customers adding on tests that they want to add on during the time of collection, which typically, if our average collection will be about 1200 rupees, they're adding another 200 to 400 rupees of tests. So that is what is there, but that is an incremental revenue that comes at no additional cost. So that flows straight to the bottom line. But that is the effect you're seeing in the revenue per sample.
Understood, sir. And sir, is there a difference in margins between a franchisee business and a partnership business at a gross or a EBITDA level?
I'll let Nitin take it.
No, so it's not like that. So even if our partnership business is increasing at, say, a range of 29%, the EBITDA and the gross margin levels, they are fairly similar. So it will not dent our EBITDA margin. I think that's the question, that if the partnership business is growing at a faster rate than partnership, will there be an impact on EBITDA? Then the answer is no.
Understood. And sir, you mentioned that we have invested around 8 crores in Tanzania. So if you could just provide a brief outlook, how do you see this business shaping up in the next 3 to 4 years? So can this business become, 7 to 8% of our revenue? If you could provide an outlook on our Africa business, that would be helpful.
Just to clarify, it is 4 crores from our side and 4 crores from our partner side. The total investment is 8 crores, but it's a 50-50 JV. So we've only put 4 crores. It's too early to say. It's our first foray into the market. You know, we are understanding a new geography. It's the first time in a long time that we have done an international foray. The last was almost a decade ago in the Gulf, but now in Africa. So I think it's too early for me to give you a forecast, of where I think Tanzania will go. Maybe by the end of this year is when I think I will have full clarity on how much we can scale that business.
Sure, sir. Thank you, sir, for answering my questions. Thank you.
Thank you.
We have our next question from the line of Aniket Kulkarni from BMSPL Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, sir, and thank you for the opportunity. So can you give some brief commentary on how competitive intensity has been in the market and what is the pricing situation which we are witnessing right now. Just a brief commentary will be fine.
This is Nitin's favorite subject, so I will let him take it. I didn't get the full question. Competition and pricing?
Competitive intensity and prices, yeah.
Is competition increasing?
Yeah. No, so see, the competition I feel is slowly, I think, cooling down. I think initially the impact post-COVID was definitely a lot of competition coming in and decreasing prices and trying to win the market. But as the non-COVID business has stabilized over the last couple of years, we are now seeing some cooling of the pricing decrease that the competition was doing. This has also led to we also stabilizing our prices. Like we said, we last year went live with our slab-based pricing. Which led to some goodness on our side, and we now don't see that much intensity and price pressure from competition now.
Okay, thank you so much, Indra, for the second question.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll take that as the last question for today. I now hand over the call to Mr. Rahul Guha for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
All right. Thank you for all the questions and the engaging discussion. I look forward to seeing you in the next quarterly presentation. And have a fantastic evening, and I wish you a good day.
Thank you, management team. On behalf of Thyrocare Technologies Limited, we conclude this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.